Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yevamos Daf Ayin Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the third line from the top of Daf Ayin Gimel. You'll notice that we have a firebox marking around Rav Sheshes, indicating that this is a central name, and the idea that will be discussed here will last for quite a while. On the side of the Gemara, we have a nosei, a topic heading, and we indicate there, ad ayin dalet omen alef. In other words, we have a rather long discussion ahead of us. The issue here is, orel mahu b'maiser sheni. As you're quite well aware, if you're not a first-time listener, we've been dealing since the beginning of the perek, as the perek's name indicates, with the issue of arlus, of he who is uncircumcised. In our most recent discussion, we were speaking about the orel and his relationship to truma, that the orel is prohibited from eating truma. The uncircumcised kohen is not allowed to eat truma. Here, we're going to discuss the orel and his relationship to Meiser Sheni. So maybe just a word about Meiser Sheni. There is a 7-year sabbatical cycle during the first six of the 7 years, so people engage in agriculture activity, and tithing is required. Amongst the different tithes, without getting into too much detail, is the Meiser Sheni tithe. That is the first, second, fourth, and fifth years of the sabbatical cycle. 1/10 of one's produce is separated and taken to Jerusalem, where one is expected to eat the produce over there. There are many details about there's redemption and taking the money instead of the actual fruits, but that's beyond our realm right now. We're interested in the Orel and his association with Meiser Sheni. Can he eat it or not? Now, the Gemara. The question is one that lasts 4 lines. Ba'u minei Rav Sheshes. The question was asked of Rav Sheshes. Orel mahu b'maiser. Can an orel participate, can eat maiser sheni? Note the aleph, and then a few lines later there's a little beis where you see the squiggle underline expression Odilma, where you give two sides of the question. So the first side of the question, or the first side of the analysis, is ki hechi di yolif pesach mi maiser linyan aninus yolif nami maiser mi pesach li inyan arlus. So we have two topics. We have the topic of Pesach, the Korban Pesach, and the topic of Meiser Sheni. We know there is precedent for learning one from the other with regard to one area of halacha. The question is, just like there is an attempt to derive one from the other, can the other be used as a source for the first? We'll explain that by going over the words again. Ki hechi diolif pesach mi meiser. Just as we learn laws regarding the Korban Pesach from Meiser Sheni, l'inyan aninus, the Meiser Sheni tithe is forbidden to be eaten by one who is an onain. An onain is someone who one of his close relatives, one of the 7 close relatives, has died and has not yet been buried. So the surviving relative is called an onain during that interim period of time. And during that time, an onain is forbidden from eating Meiser Sheni. So we also know that the laws of Korban Pesach and an onain are derived from that which we have learned by Meiser Sheni. So just as we learn the laws of Pesach from Meiser Sheni regarding aninus, yolif nami, maybe we should also learn in the other direction, Meiser mi Pesach, let us learn the laws of Meiser from Pesach le'inyan arlus, namely, just like an orel is usur in the Korban Pesach, he's forbidden to participate in the Korban Pesach, the orel shall also be forbidden in eating Maaser Sheni. So that's one possibility, that we will learn the laws of Maaser from Pesach. Oy dilma, or it might be not that way, rather. Chomor mikal yolif. I'm entitled to come to conclusions regarding a stringent area from that which is more lenient. In other words, if I find in a lenient realm of halacha, and in this case, Maaser Sheni relative to the laws of Korban Pesach, we will classify Maaser Sheni as a realm of leniency. So if I find an aspect of restriction in a lenient realm, so I can argue that all the more so that aspect of restriction will manifest itself in a more severe realm. So that's what the expression means, chomor mikal yalef, that which is more severe, like the laws of Korban Pesach, we can derive an area of restriction from what we know about a more relaxed realm, namely Maaser Sheni. And with that in mind, we were able to say that just like by Maaser Sheni, which is a more relaxed realm, a more lenient realm, and yet the Onain was forbidden, all the more so the Onain will be forbidden in the realm of Pesach, which is a more severe realm to begin with. However, Kal Mechomur Lo Yolef, to derive an element of restriction from a severe restrictive realm to a more lenient realm, that's not logical. Very simply, it could be that, in like in our case, an orel is restricted in the realm of Korban Pesach, being that Korban Pesach is a more restrictive area of halacha. Who is to say that that same restriction should apply in a more relaxed realm of understanding, like Maaser Sheni? Therefore, kal mechomer lo yalef. I won't come to the conclusion that an orel should be osur in Maaser Sheni. So here you have it, two sides of the question. Do I derive Maaser Sheni from Pesach to prohibit the orel, or do I say no, I don't derive thusly? Omar Luhu. So now Rav Sheshes answers Tanisua. And here you'll note that we have a long answer ahead of us, and the marking indicates thusly. There are quite a few markings that appear on the side of the Gemara under our Mivneh heading. Let's take note of them. The triangle represents Nisyonos Lifshoit She'elo Hanal. These are attempts to answer that very question about the Orel and Maaser Sheni. Do note that this marking scheme lasts until Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph. In other words, if you flip ahead, and in the context of today's shiur, as we're talking now, it's questionable as to whether we're actually going to finish all of them. We'll wait and see, because those triangles continue down Ayin, Dalet, Amud Aleph, a number of lines where we'll number, it appears as if we have four attempts to answer this question. The first is over here, and the balance is found later on Daf Ayin, Dalet, Amud Aleph. Another marking that we will be using, we'll see a diamond that's used, and we indicate under the on the side of our Gemara, the diamond is Havlota Shel Bikurim Truma Maaser Sheni. There are three topics that will appear in the Gemara. They are the topics of Bikurim. Bikurim is a type of tithe where the first Bikurim from the word Bechor, first, like a firstborn, this means the first fruits. One's first blossoming fruits are given every year to a Kohen. And Truma, that's the Truma tithe, also given to Kohanim, Maaser Sheni, the topic that we're focusing on now. So those three examples will appear in diamonds for highlighting purposes. Kan Muva Hevdelim Beinehem. In this section of Gemara, we will be showing the differences between them. Yesh Litzayin Shebikurim Nimtza Tamid Bapsicha. You will notice that each time in the opening line of the source, that Bikurim appears in the opening line. The other two will alternate in their positions. Namely, Truma will be in the first source. We'll say the obvious, and in contrasted to Truma and Bikurim, you'll see Meiser. And then the second source that's cited here, the Seifa, you'll see that Meiser and Bikurim are contrasted with Truma. So the point of contrast will change in both sources, and hopefully that by looking at the diamonds you can see that very clearly. Bikurim, though, as we mentioned, remains in the same opening position. The Gemara. We turn back now to Rav Sheshes. The question had been, what is the din of the Orel regarding Meiser Sheni? Rav Sheshes says to them, Tenisuha. Here, conclude, and we'll spoil the suspense and tell you right away. Why don't you conclude that it's Osir? That the Orel is Osir. And how are we going to do that? So let's read the following source. Hatruma Vabikurim Chayovim Aleihem Misa v'choymesh. The source is going to go on to list a number of aspects that Truma and Bikurim have in common with one another. Truth be told, it's not too important for us in the context of our shiur to dwell on all of the details, so we'll go over them quickly. People who are, if you are interested in more refined definitions, by all means look at the Rashi. So, Truma Bikurim are Chayavim Aleihem Misa. One, let's say, a non-Kohen who eats Truma or Bikurim is punishable by death at the hands of heaven. Rashi adds, Misa Tomei Ha'oichla. We mentioned Azar, but it's true also regarding, as Rashi says, Tomei, someone who is defiled and eats these things, is Chayav Misa Bidei Shemayim. That's as far as Misa is concerned. Choymesh is the need to add a fifth. A non-Kohen, a Zar, who eats the Bikurim or Truma in a state of unawareness, not aware that it's Truma or Bikurim, he discovers later on. So he has to, in addition to the principal value of the food that he ate, he has to add a fifth. Vasurim Lazorim. The Truma and Bikurim are forbidden to non-Kohanim. Vehein Michsei Kohen, they are considered the possession of a Kohen. If a Kohen were to offer the Truma fruits that he received as a tithe, or the Bikurim, and he offered them to a woman in marriage, that would work. That would clinch the marriage. That would establish the marital relation. This is not so with regard to Shitas Rebbe Meir and Meiser Sheni, that views Meiser Sheni as Momon Govoa, as something that's not really owned by you. You have a privilege to eat it, but it belongs to heaven. Hence, it's not yours to do with as you please. In other words, the possessor of Meiser Sheni cannot marry a woman with Meiser Sheni fruits. And if there is a mixture of Truma and Bikurim with common fruits, so you will need 100. You'll need 100 times, so that 100 times the truma, so that altogether you have 101 units, 100 times of the common fruit to nullify, or as in Hebrew we say to mavatel, the presence of the truma, so that a non-Kohen would be able to eat the mixture. If you have less than that, a non-Kohen would not be allowed to eat the mixture. This is not so with regard to Meiser Sheni, that as long as you have a majority, we say Botel Barov, you have a majority of non-Meiser Sheni fruit, and hence it would then lose the Meiser Sheni status, being that it's a minority. Utunin Rechitzas Yodayim, before eating Truma or Bikurim, one is expected to wash his hands. This is a stringency associated with Truma and Bikurim as opposed to Meiser Sheni. Utunin Veherif Shemesh. If someone had been defiled, it's not enough for him to immerse in a mikveh, but he has to also wait for sundown. Hare Eilu B'Truma Bikurim Hashein Kein V'Meiser. All of the points we mentioned are applicable to Truma and Bikurim and not applicable to Meiser. Ve'im Esau, if it were so that an Orel is mutter in Meiser, Nisni, it should have said this: Orel Osir Bohen, and Orel cannot participate in Trumor Bikur, Mashen came by Meiser, as opposed to Meiser that an Orel is allowed. And it doesn't say that. So what are we to conclude? That the Orel is forbidden. And that is what we indicated when we opened up this source above the triangle. We said, let us conclude that the Orel is Osir. Osir and Meiser Sheni. The Gemara is Doche this. The Gemara rejects this and says, Tana Vashir. That means the Tana taught a list of elements that are applicable to Truma Bikur as opposed to Meiser. And there are other things that could have been listed. Amongst the other things that could have been listed is the issue of Arlos, namely Truma Bikur and the Orel is forbidden. And when it comes to Meiser, the Orel is allowed. So, at this point then, we don't have an answer to the question asked of Rav Sheshes. No answer. Now, you see there's a bracketed section. The brackets are very long. This bracketed section takes you till Daf Ayin Dalid Omid Aleph. The second line from the top. And you can see there, there's again Toshma. An attempt to resolve the issue of Meiser, Sheni, and an Orel. If we momentarily we skip over there just to get a feeling of the superstructure of this Gemara, it says there, Toshma, Nishtairu Botzitzim Hamakvinus Hamila. Someone was circumcised, but strips of skin that are a binding factor, in other words, without their removal, he's not considered circumcised. So tzitzin hama'akvin, that strips of skin that restrain the mitzvah of circumcision from having been completed, this person is an orel. Hareze einoi oichel lo betruma v'lo bepesach v'lo bekotchem v'aloi bemeiser. And we dashed underline bemeiser. He does not, very simply put, an orel cannot eat meiser. My love, Meiser Dogon, is it not in fact referring to the tithe from the produce, the fruits of Meiser Sheni? So very simply, Orel is also in Meiser Sheni. That would be like Rav Sheshes wanted to conclude originally. The Gemara then will have a discussion concerning that particular source. It will reject that conclusion back and forth, and then more will eventually lead to attempt number 3. In the meantime, though, we have a very long bracketed section, as we just indicated. On the side, you see a double-starred note. Sograyim ad resh ayin dal mad aleph. The sograyim, the brackets last till the top of ayin dal aleph, like we just demonstrated. Shom haGemara tamshich lahavi mekoros leinyan she'elas orel be'meiser. The Gemara will resume the issue and bring sources to conclude the question of an orel and meiser sheni. B'soicha sograyim haGemara todun v'mayshir dahayshir. Within the brackets, the Gemara will demonstrate. That this answer is a good answer. This rejection, the Tana Vashir answer that we just gave, Rav Sheshes tried to prove that the Orel should be Osir and Meiser Sheni by showing a source with information that was left out. And the fact that that information was left out led Rav Sheshes to conclude that an Orel, in fact, is Osir, is prohibited in Meiser, just like Truman Bikurim. The Gemara says you can't conclude from that source because the source was abbreviated. There are points that were left out of that source, including the Orel is really mutter in Meiser. In other words, the source indicated things that are prohibited only with regard to Truma Bikurim and allowed by Meiser. And there's another thing that's like that, namely the issue of the Orel. In order to give an answer like that and claim that the source is abbreviated, the rule throughout all of the Shas is that something else had to have been deleted from the source, leaving the source abbreviated. But if only one point is left out of a source, we would have to assume then that in fact it wasn't deleted and didn't belong there in the first place. So now we continue with the Gemara. My shir, umay shir dahay shir. Well, what else was left out? What other point of contrast was left out to legitimatize this point of contrast as having been left out? The Gemara answers, shir deka tani seifa. There was left out that which is taught in the seifa, that which is taught in the latter part. There's a marking that is explained under the mivne, structural note. You see a bow tie around the word seifa. Havlota seifa v'resha mehem royim detana v'shir. We're going to be highlighting these expressions, seifa, and later you'll see at the bottom of Omid Beis the word resha, that we have on our hands a source that in fact is abbreviated. So the what we're going to see then is there's one Tanaic source that has an opening, a resha, and a closing, a seifa, a second part. What we read above, where the diamonds started appearing, that was the resha, the beginning of the source. And we claimed that information was left out of that part of the source. Is that an acceptable thing to say? Well, if you can find something else that was left out of the Tanaic source, then that's a good answer. We find something left out of that Tanaic source, but in the latter part of the source. But that's good enough. If I can show you that the entire source was in fact abbreviated by having deleted two points, then I'm home free. So we continue. We say, Shir, there was left out de Kotoni Seifa. The Seifa teaches, again, you'll see a list of points in which Meiser and Bikurim are together, contrasted with Truma. In the opening of the source, what we had, where we had the diamonds, Truma and Bikurim were taught as together, contrasted with Meiser. Here we have Bikurim with Meiser contrasted with Truma. So let's see, where are there points of contrast? And what are we hoping to find eventually? That there are points of contrast, but there's an additional point of contrast that wasn't stated. Yesh b'meiser u'b'bikurim ma she'ein kein b'truma. There are elements that you find in both meiser sheni and bikurim that you don't find in truma. Sh'meiser v'bikurim t'unin havoas mokoim. Both these kind of ties need to be brought to Yerushalayim, as opposed to truma, which is eaten wherever the kohen, my dwelling. Havoas mokoim. Havoas means bringing mokoim to a specific place. In this case, Yerushalayim. Utonin vidui. There's also a special reading from Psukim of the Torah that the owner must abide by, where he declares, Biarti HaKadosh Min Abayis. That's vidui, where he confesses, literally confesses or declares that he did what the Torah expects of him. So there's a formal declaration. That's vidui. Vasurim la'oinein. Both Meiser and Bikurim are forbidden to someone who is experiencing Aninus, which we mentioned before. Rabbi Shimon Matir. Now, it's very interesting to note that when the Gemara said Asurim Onein, Rashi adds Bikurim. It's a very strange thing for Rashi to do when, first of all, you've got a plural form, they are forbidden to the Onein, and then Rashi says Bikurim. But Rashi is very, very precise. He says Bikurim when we know that Meiser Sheni is also prohibited to the Onein. The Torah itself says that he declares Lo Achalti Ba'oini Mimenu. I did not eat from it while I was Ba'oini, while I was an Onein. So why does Rashi use, why does he add the word Bikurim? So look what happens. We go on in the source. The Rabbi Shimon Matir. What does that mean, Rabbi Shimon Matir? What is he Matir? Matir means he allows. He allows. He allows Bikurim to an Onein. Obviously, Rabbi Shimon can't allow Meiser Sheni to the Onein. The Torah says an Onein cannot eat Meiser Sheni. However, regarding Bikurim, you have a Machloikis Tanoim. And that's why when the Tanakama said Asur Onein, Rashi added the Bikurim or Asur to Onein as a lead-in to when Rabbi Shimon says Mutter, that very point, Rabbi Shimon is Matir, that Bikurim are Mutter for an Onein. What else? The Chayovin Bebior. They must be destroyed, which means that though there's a period of time that you're allowed to eat the Meiser and Bikurim, or that, let's be more accurate, that the owner is expected to tithe them, there's a certain point of time that can be reached that if the owner didn't tithe them, so he must destroy them. That's Chayovin Bebior. Rabbi Shimon Poter. Rabbi Shimon says that Bikurim are not subject to the rule of Bior. As we said before, the owner is expected to tie these things, but if a certain amount of time goes by, Rashi spells out the details, and he didn't do it, he didn't tie them, so then he must destroy that which he retained, that he kept in his possession. Rabbi Shimon, on the other hand, he says there is no din of Bior by Bikurim. So in this Seifa, we see Meiser and Bikurim are teamed up with one another, being contrasted with Truma, or if you want to say Truma is contrasted with them. Ve'ilu, Aser Levayer Mehem Betuma, that's point Aleph. Point Beis, we continue at the top of Omid Beis. V'oichlon betumas atzmon loike. Masha'ein came betruma lo katoni. Two additional points of contrast that you find common to Meiser and Bikurim and don't find by truma are not stated in this source. And this source would have welcomed more points of contrast, and they weren't spelled out. So what do you have to say? Alma toni v'shir. So you see that this source is willing to teach some points and leave out others. And hence we have justified the Gemara's rejection of Rav Sheshis' answer from before by saying that by the mere fact that the source doesn't teach that Orel is Usur in Truma and Bikurim and Mutter in Meiser doesn't show that in fact is correct. So that at this point an Orel might very well be allowed to participate in Meiser Sheni. Now we read the Gemara, but we didn't explain these points. Once again, as we said earlier, the focus is not on the details, the focus is more on the structure. But nevertheless, we read at the bottom of Omid Aleph, Ilu Osir Levayer Mehem Betuma, when it comes to Bikurim and Meiser Sheni, if those elements became Tome, so you can't burn them and benefit from the fire that comes about when you are destroying them. So again, when Meiser Sheni or Bikurim, if they became Tome, you can't burn them and use them as fuel. This is different from the way we deal with Truma. Truma Tamea, even though you can't eat Truma Tamea, it nevertheless, if you have, let's say, oil that was tithed as Truma, you can use it to light a candle. You can use it as fuel. So that when it comes to, again, Meiser, Sheni, and Bikurim, if they became Tame, you cannot benefit from their burning. In fact, the owner has to declare lo biarti mimenu betome. Not so in the case of truma. Truma that became tome, you can burn it. When you burn it, you can benefit from it as fuel. As we said, truma tomea oil. You can light your candles with it. Another point of contrast that was not taught in the source but could have been taught is what you see at the top line of Amud Beis, V'oichlan betumas atzman. That means if you have bikurim or meiser sheni, where the owner himself is tohor, but the items became tamei, that's v'oichlan betumas atzman loike. Someone who eats them when they are the items, the food items, the fruit became tamei, meiser sheni or bikurim fruit is subject to lashing. Masha'ein kein betruma, not so in the case of truma. Now it is true that truma that is tamei, you're not allowed to eat it, but one who does is not subject to lashing. So we see that we have a source that did not teach two additional points of contrast, indicating that the source has been abbreviated. Now there's an interesting structure. If we see these angular brackets, also we have a bracket length indicator on the left hand side of the more text. Skip the brackets momentarily. Omar Ravashi, may Reisha Nami Shamas Mino de Tana Bashir. Up till now, we demonstrated that the Tanaic source was abbreviated by skipping ahead to the end of the source, where Meiser Sheni and Bikurim were taught in contrast to Truma. What Rav Ashi says is that in the Reisha of the source, one could also see the abbreviation. Now, we mentioned that in the Reisha where Truma and Bikurim were taught in contrast to Meiser Sheni, and as a result of this whole approach, we were saying that, well, the ratio left out one point of information, namely that Truma and Bikurim are forbidden to the Orel, Meiser Sheni is allowed to the Orel. Ravashi says there's another point of information that was actually left out of the ratio, so that we could have proven Tana V'Shir from focusing on the ratio itself, from the first part, from the opening of the source itself. What is that? Midalokotani, and here the Gemara continues at the top of Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph. It did not teach the Noyagim Mishar Shnei Shvua that Truman Bikurim are practiced all 6 years of the 7 year sabbatical cycle. The Ein Lohem Pidyon, and they are not subject to redemption. Masha Ein Kain B'Meiser, 2 points that were left out regarding Truma Bikurim versus Meiser. The Truma Bikurim, we're repeating ourselves now, are practiced all the other years. Shar Shnei. Shnei is the plural of the word Shanim. Of Shana means Shnei. Shnei Shvua. It's in the construct form. The years of the 7 year cycle. And which is not so. Meiser Sheni is only the first, second, fourth, and fifth years. And the other point of contrast that was not taught in the source was they don't have redemption. There's no concept of redeeming Truma Bikurim, where there is a concept of redeeming Meiser Sheni. If a person has an abundance of fruit that comprised his 10%, and it's too much for him to take to Jerusalem, he can redeem it on cash and bring the cash to Jerusalem. So these 2 points of contrast were not taught. Shma Mino, so we conclude that the source was again Tana V'Shir, and you discover that from the Reisha itself, enabling us to tell you that it might very well be that the Orel is forbidden in Truma and Bikurim, but the Orel is allowed with regard to Meiser Sheni. Of course, we skipped quite a big section of Gemara just now in order to demonstrate that. But in the meantime, we go back to the bracketed section. You'll notice we have a starred comment on the side of the Gemara. And let's read the comment. Besoch asograyim, within these angular type brackets. Yuzbar habraisa shemuva besoif omid aleph v'hadiyukim shenilmodim mimenu. The Gemara will focus on the Tanaic source and inferences that can be drawn from the source that we had on Omid Aleph. Achrei sograyim elu, after these angular brackets, haGemara chayzeres lo yichiach gamino reisha detona v'shir. The Gemara then proves, as we demonstrated already, we don't have to go over that again later. We'll read it again, Amir Tzashem, but without too much detail, as having done that now. Okay, now what are we doing? Omar Mar. We continue from the third line from the top, and for all practical purposes, the issue of the Orel and Maaser Sheni, we put that aside. And that's what the marking system, that we are attempting to enable you not to lose sight, though, of our focus on that point. As we said, we're now going to be looking back at the source itself. Omar Mar, here is a quote. This is a quote from the source on Omar Aleph, where we spoke about Bikurim and Maaser. From the Seifa, we saw Bikurim Maaser. We said Vasurin Leonain. Bikurim Maaser also Tonain. The Rabbi Shimon Matir. Shimon allows an Onain with regard to Bikurim. Mino Lahu. So we ask, from where does the Tanakama know that the Onain is also in Bikurim as well? Now, as far as Maaser Sheni is concerned, we said that's a Posuk. So now, how about Bikurim? Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, Lo sucha lecho b'sherecho, masar degoncho v'sirochcho v'tzerecho v'choyros b'korcho v'chulei u'trumas yodecho. So there's a Pasuk that speaks about a number of different items that one cannot eat in his own locale, but has to be in Yerushalayim. V'omar mar, trumas yodecho, in this Pasuk reference was made to trumas yodecho. What is that? Elu bikurim. That's not a reference to truma, even the word truma appears, it's trumas yodecha. Now truma itself, we know that a kohen can eat wherever he lives. So trumas yodecha is referring to, and the Chazal know this, as referring to bikurim. V'iskash bikurim l'maiser. You can see in the source that bikurim is compared to, is taught together with Maaser. And what are we therefore able to conclude? Ma Maaser also lo Oinein, just like the Maaser we know explicitly is forbidden to the Oinein, af Bikurim also lo Oinein. So too, the Bikurim are forbidden to an Oinein. So that's how the Tanakama knows an Oinein is also in Bikurim as well as Maaser Sheni. For Rabbi Shimon, he was Matir Bikurim to an Onain. What's his response? Truma Karinu Rachmona. The Bikurim are called by this unusual name. They're called Truma. Ma Truma Muteres Le'Onain. Af Bikurim Mutur Le'Onain. By the fact that the Torah, in referring to Bikurim, used an unusual expression and called it Trumas Yodecha, it's hinting to this comparison that Bikurim are like Truma in this respect, that just like Truma is Mutur to an Onain, so too, Bikurim. That's Rav Shimon's opinion. We continue with a quote from the source on Amar Aleph, V'chayovim bebiur, namely, Bikurim and Maaser are expected to be destroyed by a certain date if the owner hasn't tithed them. Rav Shimon Poter, Rav Shimon says when it comes to Bikurim, there is no biur requirement. More makish, the Tanakama compares Bikurim to Maaser Sheni, and just like by Maaser Sheni, the Pasuk says that you have to destroy them if you haven't tied them by a certain date, and Bikurim then being that they are compared to the Maaser Sheni, Bikurim too are subject to Biur. Rabbi Shimon, the Mar Lo Makish, Rabbi Shimon does not compare, as we saw just before. The Osir Levayer Mehen Betuma. If Bikurim or Maaser Sheni became Tomei, so you can't destroy them and benefit from the from their burning, from them as fuel. The Oichlon Betumas Atzmon Loike, and one who eats either Bikurim or Maaser Sheni that became Tomei, so the items are Tomei. The one who eats them when they are Tomei is subject to Malkus. And we said this, of course, is in contrast with Truma, Minolon. So how does the Tana know this information? Tisanya, we give you a Tanaic source. And by the way, note that we have a long answer marking. And on the side of the Gemara, we also wrote as a topic heading, Isur Lahadlik Bikurim Umaiser Shenitmu, the prohibition of using as a fuel Bikurim and Maaser that became Tomei. Tisanya. Rabbi Shimon Oimer, Lo bi'arti mimenu betomei. This pasuk is by Meiser Sheni. The owner declares that I did not get rid of it, the Meiser Sheni, betomei, in a state of defilement. What does that mean? Bein shani tomei v'hu tor, whether it be a situation where the person was tomei and the food, the Meiser Sheni, was tor, bein shani tohor v'hu tomei, or that I, the person, was tohor, and the item, the food, the Meiser Sheni itself, was tomei. The Rashi, if you look across from here, a line or two down, at the end of the line, v'hochi pirusho. Let's read a few lines of Rashi. Michlal shenemar bevidui meiser, from the fact that it says in the context of the Meiser Sheni declaration, lo biarti mimenu betomei. That's the pasuk we just read in the source. The mashma, it implies bein shani tomei v'chule, whether I was tomei, it was tor, or it was tomei, and I was tor. Hu misvade, he confesses or he declares, shelo biaro bo'esh, he didn't burn it in the fire, velo hidlik boi es haner, he didn't use it to light a candle. V'kol shekein betohar, and all the more so with regard to Meiser Sheni that's tohar, delo nitan elo lachilo shtia v'sicha. You can't do anything with Meiser Sheni that's tohar other than eat it, drink it, or smear it. U'memeila shaminon, and we derive from this from the fact that he doesn't have to make any declaration regarding the Meiser Sheni when it was tohar. Shma mino hochi komar. What we conclude is that what is being said is as follows: afilu b'shasa tuma, even at a time that the Meiser Sheni was tomei, shelo yocholti le'oichloi, I couldn't eat it. Nevertheless, lo nisativ lahadloka, I didn't use it as fuel for lighting a candle. Almo eino nechal betumo. You see from here that it cannot be eaten in a state of defilement. Veheichon musar al kach. And that is what we lead into now as we go back to the Tanaic source. Where is the Azhora? So we see that the man, the owner, makes a declaration. And we want to know, where does the Torah say that there is a negative command? The term Azhora or Muzhar indicates that the Torah issues a negative command, and when such a negative command is violated, it would lead to lashing. So the Gemara continues, V'heicho Muzar al Achiloso. From where do we know that there is an Azhora, a negative command, regarding the eating when it's defiled? Eini yodea. So the response says, I don't know of an explicit source. Now there's a Gemara interruption. The Gemara feels that how can you say eini yodea to when a question like this is raised, where is there a negative command eating it in a state of defilement? Tumas haguf, we're reading now in this bracketed section, tumas haguf behed yoksiv bay, regarding the person himself who is defiled, it says explicitly, nefesh asher tiga boy v'tomo ado orev, this pasuk mentions a person who had become tomei. He is not to eat min hakodoshim. Min hakodoshim is a reference to Meiser Sheni. He is not to eat from the Meiser Sheni until he achieves purification. So what was meant by the source a few lines ago when it says eini yodea? Hachi komeboyale. The following is that which was not clear. Tumas atzmoi minayin. From where do we know that where the item itself is tomei, even though the owner might be tahar, but the item itself is tameh. From where do we know that there is an azhara, a negative command? Talmud Lomar, the pasuk says, Lo sucha lecho bishorecha masar degoncha. The pasuk says that you cannot eat in your own communities the meiser dagon, the meiser sheni tithe. Ulahalon hu omer, there's another pasuk that says, in the context of psulei hamukdashim. Psulei hamukdashim are sacrifices, they're animals that were dedicated to be a sacrifice, but they developed a blemish. So those items, those animals cannot be brought as sacrifices. What do you do with them? But have they had once been sanctified. So it says, Bishorecha tochlenu hatome vator yachtov kitzvi v'chayol. Once again, you see the word Bishorecha here. It says that these sacrifices that became disqualified, you are allowed to eat in your own dwellings, meaning not in the Beis Hamikdash, but in your own communities. A person who is Tomei can eat it along with a person that is Tor, as is characteristic of non-sanctified meat, as is characteristic of eating deer meat. Svi v'ayol. These are animals that aren't even fit to be sacrifices in the first place. Where obviously you can have a Tomei and a Tor person eating together. V'tana debei Rabbi Shmuel. And we're taught in the following Tanakh source from the Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel, Afilu tome v'tor oichlim al shulchan echod b'kora achas v'einon choishishin. When it comes to psule hamukdashim, you can have a person that's tome and a person that's tor eating together on the same table from one bowl, the psule hamukdashim, and there is nothing einon choishishin, there is nothing to worry about. V'ka'oma rachmona, and the Torah is telling us, Hahu di amri lo chosam b'shorecha tochlenu, that which we said over there by the psu hamikdashim, they can be eaten in your own dwellings without any regard to the problems of tumah. Hocha, here with regard to the meiser sheni, lo techol, it cannot be eaten when it is tamei. So let's take a look at Rashi to explain this particular limud, because in the Gemara itself, it's not 100% clear. We need a little more elaboration. There's a Rashi which we have a star above it, Hahu, a few lines down in the Rashi, Hahu, Bishorecha, Dehasam, the Bishorecha there by Psua Mikdashim, the Koshori Le Lator Li Ochlo, Achar shenoga tomei bakor v'nitma. There, a person who was tohor was allowed to eat the meat that became defiled. Koamina lo chacha b'maiser sheni lo techol. Under the same circumstances where the item, where the maiser sheni became tomei, don't eat. And that's what the drush of lo tuchal lecho b'shorecha is an allusion to, and that's why the source, it's not a very explicit type, we'll say, warning or prohibition, but it's derived through this method of, we'll say, oral law. From this we take the pasuk of Lo Sucha Lecho B'Shorecha as an azhora, warning against eating meiser sheni that itself became Tomei. And as we saw, this was contrasted with Psulei Hamukdashim that became Tomei, that you're allowed to eat. Meiser Sheni that became Tomei, you're not allowed to eat. Now, we continue in the Gemara, having demonstrated the sources for the Isser of Lahadlik, Bikurim and Meiser Shenitnu, as we had in our topic heading, and the Azhara for one who eats them when the items themselves became Tomei. We continue in the Gemara, Mashe'en kein betruma minolon, as opposed to truma, where one is allowed to mevayer the truma in a state of tuma. From where do we know that? Mevayer means one can use it as fuel. Truma that became tameh, even though you're not allowed to eat it, you're allowed to use the truma that became tameh as fuel. From where do we know this? Amar Rabbi Avo, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Di Amar Kro. The pasuk says, "By Meiser Sheni, Lo Biarti Mimenu B'tameh," and we infer Mimenu from it. Meiser Sheni Atamavir. You can't burn when it became tameh and use it as fuel. Aval Atamavir Shemen Shel Truma Shenitma. But truma that became tameh, you're allowed to use as fuel. The Gemara asks, if you're already inferring from Meiser Sheni a point of contrast, V'ema, why not say like this? Mimenu iata mavir, mimenu from the Meiser Sheni, you shall not burn when it became tummy, use it as fuel avalata, mavir shemen shol kodesh in itma. But sanctified oil, there is in the realm of sacrifices a meal offering. Part of a meal offering is oil. Oil is used. Olive oil is used as part of a mincha. So if you have shemen shel kodesh, you have shemen oil that was dedicated to be a part of a korban mincha, but it became tameh. Maybe we're saying in the pasuk by Meiser Sheni that Meiser Sheni that became tameh, you cannot use as fuel, but shemen shel kodesh that became tameh, mincha fuel, meal offering oil that became tameh, you can use as fuel. Gemara says, no, I wouldn't say that. Lav kal vachomer hu. Wouldn't it be through kal vachomer that you would derive to the contrary? Uma meiser hakalom roter lo biarti menu betomei. Mind you, meiser sheni, which relatively speaking is a lenient realm. In contrast to hardcore sacrifices, meiser sheni is a more lenient realm. And yet, the Torah warns against burning it when it became tameh, using it as fuel when the Meiser Sheni is tameh. Kodesh, chamor, sacrifices, including meal offerings and its component parts, ingredients, is a more stringent realm. Oh, kol shekein, all the more so. It would be forbidden to use it as fuel when it becomes tameh. The Gemara says, oh, so you're concluding that shemen kodesh nitma cannot be used as fuel through this type of logic, yachi truma nami kal vachomer hu. Well, then you could have applied the same type of logic with regard to truma, namely meiser sheni, which is a more lenient realm, and yet there's the fuel restriction when it's tameh. Truma, which is a more severe, more limiting realm, all the more so using it as fuel when it becomes tameh should be forbidden. And yet we don't say that. Gemara says, well, as far as that attempt, we don't say that because haksiv mimenu, because you have the word from which we inferred to the contrary when it came to truma. In other words, from it said in Meiser Sheni, lo biarti mimenu b'tameh, and that was cluing us into a contrast, but something else, namely truma, I can use as fuel when it becomes tameh. The Gemara asks, Uma Rois, what is it that you see to say that Truma will allow to be used as fuel based on the Mimenu inference, but Shemen Kodesh that became Tameh were not allowing? Answer, Mistabro Kodesh Lo Mam Itna. It's more likely that that which has been sanctified as a sacrifice, the Mincha oil, is not excluded from the realm of prohibition, but rather it too is prohibited. Shekain, and here you have an abbreviation, and the Gemara spells out the abbreviation, Pank Achas. You'll find by Kodshim, it has points of severity. And the points are Pigol, Noiser, Korban, Me'ilo, Kores, the Osul Onen. We highlighted the letters in each word that correspond to the abbreviation. But these are 6 points of stringency that you find by kutchin. Pigol means it can become rendered unfit through an incorrect mindset concerning time, eating it at the wrong time, if that was in your mind when you were processing it. Noser is if it's left over, and both pigol and noser carry with them a kores punishment, a very severe punishment. They are korban. They are sacrifices. That's in contrast to truma, which is not a sacrifice. Me'ilah, if you misuse them, if you use them for your own personal benefit, so you're in violation of the me'ilah restriction or me'ilah punishment, which you don't find by truma. Kores, we mentioned that when it comes to kachim, so the punishment that is due for the violation is a kores punishment, which you don't find by truma. The osur la'onein, the kachim are prohibited to an onein, as opposed to truma, which is allowed to be eaten by an onein. So if you're going to say that something is contrasted with maaser sheni, it's not going to be kachim. Just like maaser sheni, we said, is osur to be used as fuel when it's tamei, so kachim as well is going to be osur. Adarabah, well, truma lo mamit no shekein machbas. Again, an abbreviated expression, and the Gemara spells out what the letters represent. Truma should not be excluded from Maiser Sheni, and we should be machmir, we should be restricted by truma like Maiser Sheni, and not allow you to use tomei truma as fuel, because truma has its own set of unique features. Misa means misa bidei shamayim. If it's the truma is violated, it could lead to a punishment of death at the hands of heaven. The choymesh, the need to add a fifth, a non-kohen who mistakenly eats truma will have to add, not, he has to pay a kohen, the principal, and add a fifth. The ein lo pidyon, the concept of redemption does not apply to truma, as opposed to sacrifices and maaser sheni, where we do find redemption, without getting into details now. The asur lezorim, truma is unique in that it is forbidden to non-kohanim, not true in the case of sacrifices and maaser sheni. The Gemara says, Hanoch nefishandi, the number of restrictive points or unique points to kachim is greater. There was 6 versus 4. B'boy esema, another explanation of why we're not going to entertain leniency by shemen kachim, shenitma kores adifa. Because only by kachim and not by truma, you find the kores punishment can arise, can be applied, where applied meaning heaven applies it, not so in the case of truma. The oichlon betumas atzmon loike ma she'enkein betruma. One who eats the items, not the person being tamei, but the items are tamei, whether it be it's bikurim or maaser sheni, that the fruit itself became tamei, and one eats them like that, he is subject to lashing. Not so in the case of truma. Milka hu delo loki, for eating truma that became tamei, he's not subject to malchus. Ha isura ika, however, there is a prohibition to eat truma that became tamei. Minolon, what is the source for that? Omar kro, there's a pasuk with regard to psule hamukdashim. It says bisharecha tochlenu. Lozeh velo la'achir. That means that the psule hamukdashim that became tamei, you are allowed to eat. That's tochlenu. That is there's a limitation in that lozeh, that you can eat when it becomes tamei. But not something else. And that something else is truma. Truma becomes tamei, though you cannot eat. So you have a negative command here, but it's not an explicit negative command. It's a negative command derived from that which you've stated positively. And that's called a lav. V'lav habo michlal asay equals asay. That which is a negative command nature, but it's not explicit, but rather derived from something stated in the positive, has the status of a positive command, and that means that there is no malchus. Malchus lashing is given only for the violation of negative commands, not for the violation of positive commands. And this we read earlier, no need to go over it in detail, just Omar Avashi, Meresha Nami Shamas Mina, the Tana Vashir. In order to explain how an Orel would be allowed to eat Meiser Sheni in contrast to Truma and Bikurim, we had to say that the source, though it didn't teach this particular point of contrast, it could have, and the source was simply abbreviated, leaving out other points of contrast. And Rav Ashi says, you don't have to go only to the Seifa in order to see this abbreviation. In the Reisha, you also see this abbreviation. Midolo Katani, from the fact that the Reisha did not teach, when teaching the contrasts where Meiser Sheni was pitted off against Truma Bikurim, it didn't teach the Noyagim Shar Shnei Shavua. Truma and Bikurim are applicable as tithes all 6 of the 7 years of the sabbatical cycle, as opposed to Meiser Sheni. The Ein Lohem Pidyon, the concept of Pidyon, of redemption, doesn't apply at all to Truma nor Bikurim. Mashein Ken B'Meiser, as opposed to Meiser. So there you have two more points that the source could have taught and didn't. Shma Mino. So from here we see that even in the Reisha, it was Tana, it taught points of contrast, Vashir, and left out other points. We pointed out earlier that the attempt to discover what is the din of an Orel by Meiser Sheni preoccupies the coming section of Gemara, as you can see with the triangles that appear, number 2, 3, and 4, additional attempts to conclude that issue. But in the context of the Dafyomi Shiur that we have, so we've reached already the new Daf, this would be a somewhat convenient place to pause. Before we conclude, though, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our Shiur for today.